The seven stages of purification of Satta Visuddhi as taught by the Buddha are as follows. The first one is Sila Visuddhi, purification of Sila or morality or virtue. We are keeping one's precept, like what I have gone through with you all. To keep the precept is not just like parroting the precept. Parroting the precept is not keeping the precept. You may call it renewal of precept. But in order to really keep the precept, you must understand the deep meaning of the precept, why the Buddha asked you to keep the precepts. And you have to put to test all these five precepts. When you put to test, then you will understand. Just like how I have shared with you early on, you have to inquire, why did the Buddha advise all living beings to keep the precept? That is based on right view in regards to law of karma. So the Buddha knew, if you want to avoid negativity of karma, you have to take care of karma. To take care of karma, you have to train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful, and you have to understand the meaning of precepts, the purpose of precepts, very deeply. So this very first understanding is very useful. It comes from right view with regards to the law of karma. So because of that, the Buddha's advice, Dhammapada verse 183, follow. In order to take care of karma, the Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil. Then in order to develop the wholesomeness of karma, you have to cultivate wholesomeness. Then in order to develop wisdom, to free your mind, to liberate, to become enlightened, you have to purify your mind and awaken. So these three are the famous advice of all Sammasambuddha whenever they arise. And we have to ask ourselves, when he say, avoid all evil, what does he mean? What constitutes evil? We check. In the teaching is mentioned the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion constitute major evil. When you have them, you become evil. And from there, we can start. Then we check. The Buddha advises us to keep our precept. Otherwise, according to the Buddha, if you violate them, it constitutes committing major evil. That's how your karmic nature falls. That's how you get into trouble. Because our life, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So we have to take care of karma. We are our entire life, 100% depend on karma. So if this been the case, then we need to avoid all evil. Whatever thing we do that has these evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, we have to avoid them. That's why all evil has to be avoided. So let's take for example the first precept. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. What is the meaning? The Buddha said, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. So who are the people who kill and harm fellow living beings? That is our inquiry. Then you will come to realize people who are selfish, people who are violent, full of anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, and people who are deluded, they can kill and harm. That's why the first precept, if you don't keep, you will have karmic negativity. The evil roots are there. So not able to abstain from killing fellow living beings or harming fellow living beings constitute negativity of mind state, negativity of karmic action, speech, and thought process. That's why keeping the first precept is very vital. We have people who violate and break this precept has the evil result, greed or selfishness, anger, emotion, and delusion. So if you check the other precept, it's the same. The second precept, the third precept, the fourth precept, the fifth precept. You go through them, like how I have gone through them with you at the retreat. Then you will develop the deep understanding. Then you will understand why I have to keep this precept. This precept is to assist you, to protect you from committing negativity or karma, to protect your good life, so that you will not fall. So when you understand taking a precept, keeping a precept becomes your duty, becomes something you must do based on your understanding. A lot of people who don't have the understanding, they always complain, why make life so difficult? Certain precepts are not easy to keep. So they thought it's a burden. Actually, it's the opposite. The Buddha, out of love and compassion for you, advised you to keep. He is not there to make life difficult for you. A lot of people complain, no, why must keep so many precepts? Especially lie. A lot of people find it very difficult to keep the precept. Then stealing also same. Cheating, deceiving. Then the third precept also. Then sometimes a lot of people find the fifth precept very difficult. Then some cannot restrain from the first precept. They kill mosquito, they kill all the minor insects. Then they get agitated, angry, and violent easily. So a person who don't have the understanding and the mindfulness cannot keep precept. They become heedless. They commit a lot of negativity or karma. That's the reason why their life become miserable. They are afflicted. So sometimes they blame God. They say, why is God so unfair? Why me? But then you look at those who have the Dhamma, the Parami, who keep the precept, who don't commit all these things. How come their lives are so different? They are so happy, so peaceful, like as if they are very lucky. If you have the understanding, there is nothing to do with luck. Don't depend on luck, my advice is. There is no such thing as luck. If you don't take care of your life, you don't have the Dhamma, no luck will come to you. You will encounter a lot of misery, a lot of suffering, a lot of problems in life. If you want to have the good life, the good luck, cultivate the Dhamma. Keep your precept. Then after that, cultivate wholesomeness. Then silence your mind, train your mind, meditate to develop the wisdom so that you are not afflicted. You are not affected by whatever that arises in life. So this is the beauty of the teaching. When you understand the teaching, it can really turn your life around, make you different, transform you into a very, very wise and beautiful living being. You will be very virtuous, full of understanding, and you will be very kind, very loving, very compassionate and peaceful. You will have a lot of good virtue. And your mind states are always beautiful. People love you. People can sense you. People will have faith in you. They feel confident when they are near you. They feel safe. And they like to be your friend. They like to come and get to know you too. So these are the beauty of having the Dhamma, cultivating the Dhamma. So all this understanding as you progress along the path of Dhamma, you will start to see them. You will start to develop the understanding of them. Then you will have joy. You will have this happiness in you. And you feel very joyful with a lot of gratitude and respect for the Buddha for giving you such great teaching. We call it the real gem. That's the reason why it's called the triple gem. These are real gemstones, the real gems. Okay, we'll read on. Chitta Visuddhi, the second purification. Chitta is mind, or content of consciousness, especially the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you are mindful, aware, and sensitive, when the evil roots are there, you can sense them, you can feel them. The slightest irritation or the slightest reaction of mind, you can sense them because you are mindful and you are sensitive. That's the reason why those who have the mindfulness and the understanding, they cannot break their precept anymore. They cannot become angry or miserable or unhappy. Their mind is so sensitive. The slightest like sensation towards that tendency, they already aware, mindful. That's why it cannot. The mind cannot do all those things anymore. It cannot stir, it cannot react like before. Because they feel the stress, the very fine suffering within, and they become so sensitive. That's how cultivation of daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom can transform you, make you sensitive, and enable you to keep your precept, enable you to transform for the better, character-wise, personality-wise. You become different, you become virtuous, you become kind, compassionate. You have very gentle and pleasant personality. You are very beautiful. Your mind state is always wholesome, without the evil roots, free of negativity. And you have a lot of understanding. That's why purification of mind state, you need mindfulness, stability of mindfulness. When you are very mindful, aware, you see a lot of things, you understand a lot of things, then you straighten your view, then you contemplate, you reflect, the initial wisdom will arise. So without the stability of mindfulness and initial wisdom, you cannot keep precept. You cannot purify your morality. You cannot purify your mind state, your citta. Citta visuddhi. So purification of mind or content of consciousness cannot be done. So this shows to us the importance of daily mindfulness. You must stabilize it, develop it until it becomes a part of you. Then after you are able to do it, you should use it to cultivate the initial wisdom or the third turning insight into phenomena to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. Then constantly reflect and contemplate deep into the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us, especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, to develop the three types of corresponding wisdom. So when you are able to purify your morality, then you can move on to purify your mind states. Not until you can purify your mind state, you cannot really transform. Then as you purify your morality and mind state, you need to actually also develop the ability to purify your views. The straightening of view is actually a process that is been done together with sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi. As you purify your view, citta visuddhi, ditti visuddhi, you straighten your view, you develop the initial wisdom. That's why the third purification is done together with the second, first and second. So as you cultivate first and second, sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi, you need to develop the straightening of view, ditti visuddhi. Purification of view, so as to arise the right view with regards to the law of karma, Four Noble Truths and its three turning, and the law of dependent origination, and to cultivate the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. So this is how you purify your view. The first path factor, the three type of right view, you have to do them. Know the difference between right and wrong view to develop the understanding, the true understanding according to reality, and to see things as they are. So these are very important cultivation. The Noble Eightfold Path factor start with right view. The reason being, I always explain, if your view is wrong, all the other path factor will collapse. So wrong view will condition wrong thought. Wrong thought will condition wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood. Then your sati and samadhi will also go wrong. Then the four right effort you put in is also wrong type of effort. So all this points towards the importance of purification of views. And these three right views that the Buddha has taught us is very powerful. They are nature's law, spiritual law. The first one is law of karma, karma niyama. We have delved into it. And that one we have already investigated, proven. All the Dhammapada verses. When we are mindful and aware, all the essential Dhamma, the teaching, we can put to test. When they stand up to investigation, we have faith. That's why the law of karma, we will hold on to it. We will use that as a guiding principle for us to start our cultivation. All cultivations start from right view. The Buddha also used the same. His advice comes from the first right view. Right view in regards to this law of karma. That's the reason why in his teaching, he explained many aspects of karma. The five daily contemplation, the fifth contemplation. You must reflect and contemplate every day. That shows the importance of it. So, karma is very important. And he always stressed, it is chitena that I call karma. Means mental intention. That's why you must be mindful, sensitive, aware to see your mental intention. Then you must understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes evil. The three evil roots are the root of all evil. Then expand on it. What is greed? The Pali word lobha is a very wide scope type of greed. All aspects of greed, selfishness, possessiveness, craving, clinging, grasping, lust, desire, they are all part of this evil roots of greed. Then when it comes to hatred, expand on it. The Pali word is dosa. Lobha, dosa, moha. So dosa not only covers anger or hatred, all your envy, jealousy, negativity of mind state, negative emotion, they are part of this evil roots of hatred. Then when it comes to moha, delusion, this one is not so easy to understand. But for those who understand, they will know. Moha means delusion. And the main one is self-delusion. When there is self-delusion, the personality arises. The egoic mind arises. So when the egoic mind arises, it will project. And when it projects, it will arise fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. That's how living beings get entangled. Even your insecurity, your scars of memory, all of your phobia, everything, they are part of these evil roots of moha. So when you understand them so completely, then when you see them manifesting, you will understand. That's how it helps you in your cultivation. So the three evil roots, when you understand, it becomes very different. Then from there, you will understand what constitutes wrong thought, wrong action, wrong speech. Yeah. Whatever action, speech and thought that has the evil roots are wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action. Take for example, wrong thought. The text or the scripture or the commentaries, they always teach you very limited understanding of right thought. They never explain what is wrong thought. They always say right thought means the four Brahma Vihara. Actually, that is very limited. The four Brahma Vihara, loving kindness, which is metta, then karuna, which is compassion. Then you have mudita, sympathetic joy. Then you have equanimity, which is upekkha. These are the four mind states of the Brahma. Yeah, they are right thought. But right thought is not limited to these four. Many of the thoughts that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are right thought. Like gratitude, sincerity, kindness, then contentment. They are all right thought without the evil root. Sincerity, respect, all these are right thought. The thought that has virtue constitutes right thought. Even your generosity, the thought of being generous, being kind, being caring, loving, they are all right thought. Then even that sincere thought is a right thought. You are free of the evil roots. But to me, this way of teaching is not sufficient, not enough, because it doesn't allow you to understand what constitutes wrong thought. To me, it's more important to understand what is wrong thought so that I can take action. So I came out with my own understanding after I understand all these evil roots, after I expanded on it. Then I realized, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the wrong thoughts are there, the evil roots are there. Otherwise, you will not be in that state of mind. Why are you not happy, not peaceful? Because there is the evil roots. Then what constitutes wrong thought? So that you can recognize them. Thoughts that condition your negativity of mind state, like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness, your deep resentment, your phobia, your selfishness, your insecurity. All this constitute wrong thought. So very easy, isn't it? Whenever you are not happy, not peaceful, when all these mind states are there, you are being engulfed. So when I define it this way, a lot of people who have depression, straight away they wake up. They realize all the thought that they have been carrying, thinking, holding on to, are all this wrong thought. I call it the cocoon of thought, like a tape recorder, keep on replaying, replaying, replaying. That's how they become depressed. That's how they have mental sickness. So people have depression is because they attach and cling on to the wrong thought without knowing what is going on. In fact, wrong thoughts are thoughts that are very negative, that condition your mind state into evil mind state. So when you understand that, then you will determine through your right effort to abandon them. Because when you reflect on it, if you don't think of the opposite direct wholesome thought, the wrong thought will continue to be there. and it will make you evil. Then you will have karmic negativity, lead to downfall, it lead to suffering. If that is your life, do you want it to go that way? If not, you better change. You better determine to abandon it through the five ways that the Buddha has taught you. So the first two ways is still thought-based, but it's good for initial training. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought means constantly contemplate and develop the understanding of what constitutes right thought, like what I have gone through earlier on with you. Then right effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you, so that you can reverse your conditioning, so that most of the time you dwell on right thought. That's how you cultivate. Then after that, the second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought. Because these are wrong thought that has the evil roots, like your anger, your hatred, your fear, your sorrow, your lamentation. If you continue to hold on to this wrong thought, what will happen to you? These are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil, cause your negativity or karma to arise, cause your karmic downfall, make you miserable, make you suffer. If that is what you want, then go ahead, be heedless. But if this is not what you want, then you better wake up, determine to abandon it. And the best way to abandon it is the third and the fourth way, the meditative way. The third way is just aware, silent, be with the anger, be with the fear, be with the selfishness, whatever negative emotions, stay there and see what happens. It will cease to be naturally on its own. Which means to meditate is not to think, not to create more thought, not to do things. That's why I say don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness, you can find out what actually happened. When you maintain awareness, all this mind state, negativity of mind state, whether it's anger, hatred, or fear, or misery, or sorrow and lamentation, find out what will happen to them. They will cease to be, because they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. They arise because of your self-delusion, your wrong view. When you don't have wrong view, means what? When you are just aware, you cannot think. And when you cannot think, there is no wrong thought, no wrong view. And then all this is. Then you realize, hey, anger is not me. Hatred is not me. All these mind states, they are not me. If they are not me, why do they arise in me? And who am I? What am I? All this inquiry will lead to wisdom, will free you. If they are not you, you have to trace the origination factor through the fourth way. Then retrospectively, through the understanding of wisdom, reverse it. So that the next time, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think of something, you will not stir your mind like before. You will not get agitated and unhappy. So that the emotion, the negativity of mind state will not arise. So these are very important understanding. So when you have this understanding, you transform, you wake up. Then you realize the teaching of the Buddha is so beautiful. That's why he says, Sankara anicchang. Sankara dukkang, when I cling, I grasp, I hold, I suffer. Then because it's anicchang, it is anatta, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it is empty, no more meaning. So all this understanding will surface through just being silent, aware, then witness or observe what happened. Observe how all these mind states, sankhara, they arise and they cease. They are all dependent originating, condition arising. When condition cease to be, it ceases to be. Then after that, When you have this wisdom developed, you will straighten your view. That's how the purification of view helps a lot. So these are the teaching that you have to develop the understanding. Then we go back to the notes. Okay, after we have finished the third one, the view. So, this purification of view is very important. So, just now I say, know the difference between right view and wrong view to develop the true understanding according to reality and the city as they are. So, I explained the first one is law of karma just now, which I went into very deep detail today. That cultivation part, you can listen to it again and develop them. Then the second right view is you need to be mindful, aware, stability of daily mindfulness, to see how you function as a human being, to see how your mind, your citta operate. That's why he called it the 12 link, paticca-samuppada, the law of dependent origination. You must see everything that arises, all phenomena is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's the reason why they are impermanent. If they are dependent originating, condition arising, how can they be a permanent unchanging entity? Dependent on condition they arise. Dependent on condition they cease. Then when the condition continues to sustain itself, they exist. So all this, when you start to see them in your meditation, in your daily mindfulness, you start to develop the wisdom, the understanding. Then you transform. Then you will come to realize that everything is just dependent originating, condition arising. All mind states are like that. And mind is a foreigner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. So from mind, you can deduce that every phenomenon in this universe have these universal characteristics of change, impermanent, because they are all condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating. So see this clearly. Then after that, the third right view is Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma Niyama is very useful. The most important one is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. That one you need to cultivate. The three turning of the Four Noble Truths, that third right view. And from there, all the other essential Dhammas spin off from there. So these three type of right view, they are very, very powerful, very important. Then to add a little bit more to the second right view, the law of mind, Citta Niyama or Paticca Samuppada. This one, when you are mindful, aware, when your heedfulness is very stable, you can use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. Where you can see the link, you can see how you function as a human being, how upon contact, all those things that the Buddha described under the paticca-samuppada, how they actually arise and pass away, how all the links are interconnected, and how, as I explained, it's multidimensional, it's not a single dimensional thing. So seeing all this is direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. It's not a knowledge, it's not a thought, it's not something people tell you where you believe. This is not a knowledge type of teaching where people tell you you believe. This one you have to investigate, awaken, then you understand. If you don't awaken, you cannot understand. So cultivation is about awakening, realizing, insight into, not using the thought to rationalize, to think, because thought is limited, knowledge based. It cannot develop wisdom. Wisdom, which is the outcome of awareness, is of a higher intelligence than thought. That's why the Dhamma is akaliko, ahipasiko, then also sanditiko. Akaliko means timeless, beyond thought, beyond mind. So if you can awaken using thought, then that awakening is inverted comma, not akaliko. Because it's not a timeline. Where thought is psychological time. How can it awaken to a state that is beyond thought, beyond time? Impossible. Then we move on to the fourth purification. This fourth purification is also very useful. Purification of overcoming doubt. This one, before the five spiritual faculties are very stable, you will have this doubt in you. So purification of overcoming doubt is in Pali called Kankha Vittarana Visuddhi. So no more doubt because it has overcome the 10 defilement of insight that binds the cultivator to complacency and misguided belief or realization. So this purification of overcoming doubt is to overcome the 10 defilement of insight that I have shared with you all. So once you are not caught in the defilement of insight, you will clear through this purification of overcoming doubt. There is no more doubt in your cultivation. You know what constitute defilements of insight. So when you are able to progress and develop very beautiful mind state, if you are not careful, when you are deluded, you can be trapped. That's how it will create doubt in you later on. So purification by overcoming doubt means no more doubt. It means these are defilement of insight. You will not be complacent. You will not be trapped. So this ability is very important, like how I described it. The cultivator will be able to overcome complacency and misguided belief of realization. Otherwise, you can be trapped inside. Then the next purification is also very useful. Purification of knowledge and vision of what is path and non-path. Marga marga jnana dasana visuddhi. So you have to understand what is non-path. Non-path leads to delusion, always remember that, and suffering. Whereas path leads to clarity, non-negativity, harmony, the word harmony can add in, peace and stillness of mind, born of wisdom. Clarity, non-negativity, and harmony. So always remember, when you want to check whether you are on the right path or not. If whatever you do lead to delusion, that is non-path. Means it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. It doesn't lead you to the training of the mind to be heedful. All these are non-path. It makes you more egoic. It causes you to debate instead of focusing on the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. You end up doing psychic, one-pointedness, jhana, everything. Then you end up doing things that has nothing to do with the Noble Eightfold Path. So that is non-path. And it leads to delusion and suffering. Whereas path leads to clarity, non-negativity, means the evil roots are not there. Then, clarity, harmony. So these are the signs. Then there is peace, tranquility, stillness, born of wisdom. So only wisdom free. Then number six, purification by knowledge and vision of the way. This one is an extension of the fifth purification. When you know what is path and non-path, you will have this vision of the way very clearly shown to you. That's why this purification by knowledge and vision of the path or the way is very straightforward. It's a natural consequence of the fifth purification. Then you will just have to sincerely, with faith and diligence, cultivate, continue. So in Pali it's called Patipada Jnanadasana. Jnanadasana is direct knowledge and vision of the reality. So after understanding what is pa, one just continue to cultivate accordingly to realize the vision of the way. Means like what I said just now. If you know that this is pa, your cultivation lead to heedfulness, and heedfulness lead to clarity of mind, non-negativity, peace, tranquility, and stillness, the true mind. That's why you know you are on the right path. You are no longer using thought to do thought-based meditation and all the funny meditation. You are just aware, mindful, clarity, observe, silent, to awaken. So this is the difference between the traditional teaching and the real teaching. Then the last one is purification by knowledge and vision. Again, Jnanadasana Visuddhi means purification by the knowledge and vision of the reality. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality means when you purify through the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya. So this one is realization or enlightenment born of the direct seeing or the direct knowledge and vision of the way things are without thought. That's why the direct seeing, Jnanadasana, seeing things as they are, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. This one is the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya. Without the third turning, you cannot insight into phenomena, you cannot awaken. Okay? So at least we cover the seven stages of purification. Then there's the last paragraph. Since the meditation as taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path, so if one's meditation does not lead one back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path via heedfulness and sati as taught by the Buddha, then it is not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having experienced fantastic meditation experiences, one may think that one is already enlightened. But if one's actions, speech, and thought processes are still very crude, with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check what type of enlightenment that is. It's very easy to check, isn't it? The Noble Eightfold Path factors, do you have them? The embodiment of right speech, right action, and right thought, with the right view guiding you. Then do you have the appropriate right livelihood? The four types of right effort. Then are you heedful? Are you mindful? So all these are very beautiful checks. If you are still so crude, just because your meditation is fantastic, like you can levitate, you can read mind, you can maybe do magic. So, character-wise, you are still so crude. You are far from what the Buddha meant by enlightenment, the noble ones. The noble one has to be noble in all aspects of life. Having the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you don't have that, you are far from what he expects of you. So this is a very important understanding. If you can follow this understanding as a guidance, then you will not deviate, you will not go wrong. Okay.